Let's turn, if we could, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And as you turn there, I just want to mention that the Easter weekend plans for the fellowship conference in Denton are underway. So we hope as many of you will come as you can. It's always Easter weekend, Thursday night before Easter, finishes Easter Sunday with the morning worship. And the registration usually begins either January 1st at midnight or the first 2 weeks. So if you track with I'll Be Honest, you'll watch for an announcement of that, and we just hope you'll come. It's always a very special time. How many of you have been to the fellowship conference? So the rest of you, come on over west, and we'll be glad you're there. Luke 17. We'll read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. This is the very word of God. And it came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he was passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off or far away. Of course, you remember they were required to, by Levitical law, they couldn't be around anybody. And so they were socially according to Old Testament law, removed, away, afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So picture this. He's walking into the village. Suddenly, 10 men, somewhere to his right or left, start calling out one after another in unison, and they were asking for mercy. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that, notice this, as they went, they were cleansed. This is a very unique miracle. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I think the language originally has the idea of, and just think of it, a Samaritan. Just behold this. This was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said to this one man, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, except this stranger, this alien, this Samaritan, this non-Jew. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Well, let's pray together. Father, this is your word. And we bow before the truth and the power of your word. And we would choose on this side of hearing your word to say, Lord, we believe it. And we want to be changed by it. So give us grace in this hour. Give us power in the moment, in speaking and in hearing and in receiving, that we would be transformed into the image of the Savior with deeper faith in Him and a deeper, more constant response to Him. Receive our thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I could title this message two ways. The first might be, where are the thankful? Where's the thankful ones? Or, the title could be this, a marvelous miracle, a mixed response, and lessons we learn. Now you can take your choice. You put your title on it, whether you like the first one, where are the thankful, or the second one. It's all truth. It's all applicable. Here's an event that was amazing. Have you ever, as you read the Gospels, and you come to see, you read in John 11, the resurrection of Lazarus, or the stilling in the storm, or this one, and suddenly you pause and you say, wow, I wish I could have been there to see that. These events, these narratives, these recordings of true events should grip us when we read them, because they were true events. They're not fiction. They're not made up stories. Real people like you, really needy like us, suffering, hurting, dying, sick, in fear, in bondage, and they cannot change their condition. The miracles in the Gospels are such an amazing thing, and they're meant to show us more the glory of who Jesus Christ is, that we might believe more in His power, and that we might appropriate more of His power and experience the life-giving, life-changing grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This event is a very unique one here. In a way, it's unlike most, if not all, of the other healings in the Gospels, in one sense. Because when you hear in the Gospels about Jesus' healing, often, wasn't it, the multitudes came to Him and He healed them all. So it was one multiplied by 1,000, whatever. So you had this multiplication of miracles in one fell swoop. Or it's one here. It's a blind man. It's a dead man. It's a leper who's healed. But here you have 10 men, different ethnicities, but all with the same common condition. The lowest of the low in society. Lepers. Lepers. Some Jews, at least one Samaritan, they were a mixed bunch of social rejects. Because if you had leprosy, you were gonna die from it. And it was a permanent mark where you were outcast. You couldn't be around your family. You couldn't be in society. You couldn't be near people. You were permanently marked what? Say the word. Unclean. They had to call that out. And they were set in that miserable condition till they died from this miserable disease. Now these lepers, these 10 men, they knew of Jesus. The text obviously shows us that. What they fully knew and why, we're not told. But this they knew. Jesus was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, as the book of Acts calls him. They knew that. They knew he was a mighty miracle worker whose fame was now significant and increasing. And now they knew, whether they had heard He was coming, Jesus is passing through ultimately to Jerusalem. He's passing through Samaria and Galilee. He's heading somewhere. And you remember as he journeyed all the time, he would have divine appointments, right? The woman at the well. Others. A woman crippled with a disease. She had spent all her money on doctors and wasn't any better. And then he's going to help her, and he's interrupted by a ruler who wants his servant healed. Jesus is always getting interrupted, but it wasn't interruptions, was it? Divine appointments. Because he is to meet these needy ones, which he is to pour out grace and mercy upon them. And some of them who get healings and deliverance never become believers. And many of them who do get healings and deliverance do become true believers. Their faith, true faith, is saving faith, and it makes them completely whole, not only in body, but in heart and in spirit. So here's Jesus on his journey, ultimately to Jerusalem, and he's soon to meet up with the rich young ruler right after that, and then after him, the little man Zacchaeus, the wee man Zac, who's up in the tree, and Jesus stops. Zac, come on, I'm going to your house today. So en route, these 10 men, they're over here, they're over here. Jesus, he would have known, the Father had shown him, he was going to minister to him, but he's going, and then those 10 in unison cry out, Master, have mercy on us. And look what happens. These are 10 lepers. If anyone did not humanly qualify for help, it was them. And guess what? You too. You don't qualify for the least of God's mercies. None of us do we? We're not lepers, but inside we're messed up, ripped up. Sin has scarred us, and all we have before God is our sin within ourselves. We're in the same boat as these 10 guys. If anyone did not humanly qualify, it was them. And if anyone needed divine mercy, it was them also. J.C. Ryle said this, quote, "It is difficult to imagine any condition more miserable and lonely and sad than a leper." Now, I don't know if you've ever really read what leprosy does to people, but just Google it and get ready to feel disgusted. It's just horrible. A leper was disgusting. Now, these were healthy people. Men who worked, women who worked, and had normal lives that contracted leprosy as a contagious disease, and it stopped their future life completely. They couldn't work. They couldn't live in their home. They couldn't be around people. They were forever an outcast ceremonially, according to Levitical law, and socially, completely unclean, miserable, rejected, socially dead, and, as time would pass, forgotten. And yet, this was one of the classes of people Jesus came to rescue. Remember when John was in prison, he sent message to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" What was Jesus' answer? "You go tell John what you've heard and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are getting the gospel, and the lepers are cleansed." One of the classes. He came to transform their life, to have mercy upon them because of their miserable condition. All of that, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dead, the poor, and the lepers, were the mission of Jesus Christ. And sinners everywhere. He came to seek and to save. Now about lepers, remember in Matthew 8, one leper came, and it says, he came and worshiped Him and said, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. Remember Jesus' response? I'm willing, be clean. And He was clean. Just the word. Instantly, I'm willing, be clean. But here 10 come at once. It's a monumental picture. It's an astounding event, an exciting encounter. It is a hidden moment of absolute power by Christ over all nature and all disease. It's an instantaneous cleansing, and suddenly for all 10, it was a phenomenal emotional moment. A merciful act in answer to their desperate cries. 10, think of it, 10 lives changed for the rest of their earthly journey. Think of what it meant. Instantly they were healthy and it was gone. What did it mean for their future? They could go home. They would have been pronounced clean. They could go back to work. They could enjoy their children and grandchildren forever on this earthly life. As long as their life endured, the leprosy was gone. 10 lives changed for the rest of their earthly journey, but one life changed eternally. Now we have, what I want us to see today is some simple things. 2 major observations in the text, and then 2 lessons for us to apply to our own hearts. First, observe the miracle itself. Look at verses 13 and 14. Here they are, He's coming. And what starts this is their cry for mercy. They lift up their voice. They're not embarrassed. People would have been around. But when you're desperate, you can get humble pretty quick. You don't care about public opinion. You don't care what people think. Pride robs us of the humility that's needed to cry out to Christ. So this starts with their crying out. And notice what 14 says. Picture Jesus, He's walking. They cry out, and it says, when He saw them. So He would have stopped and turned toward them, and He's looking at them. Right? He's looking at them, and He does one thing. He speaks to them something they're to do. He says, go, show yourselves to the priest. That's all He said. And as they went, they were healed. That's the miracle. It's astounding that it happened this way. So here's the scene again. Jesus comes, they cry out, He stops, He sees them, He says, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they go, they're all healed. Any of you ever been in the hospital? How many have been in the hospital? All right. You know on the bed, the little call button for the nurse? If you're ever in the hospital, you'll have a little button to call the nurse, and they'll be there in at least 30 minutes, maybe. But think of this. What if you or I went in the hospital? What if Jesus today walked in to Parkland Hospital, and there were, in one area, there were 10 sick people. And He walks in and He says, all of you press the call button. And He walks out. And they press it and they're healed instantly. That's what happened here. Go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't say anything else. This shows how glorious and unique and with such variety came the miracles of Jesus Christ. They just go. They obey His word. They go in the way of obedience. And as they went, healing came to their bodies. They didn't get angry and argue like that leper in the Old Testament. Remember his name? Naaman, the leper in 2 Kings 5. He knew better. He got angry and he started arguing. And finally his own servants had the courage to set him straight. Hey, the prophet told you just to go dip in the Jordan. If it had been something harder, you would have done it. So just do it. Just, what do you got to lose? Naaman goes, and in obedience, he comes up out of the water on the last dip, fully healed, skin clean, pure. In going, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. Just obedience to what Christ said. Remember at the wedding at Canaan, what did Mary say to him? Whatever he says to you, do it. That's just our job. Not to confer with flesh and blood. When God speaks to us, we make sure it's in line with the Scriptures. But we don't need to confer with flesh and blood. We don't need to go into the doubt mode. We need just to obey Christ. And that's what they did. It's marvelous and amazing. Think of the reality of what actually happened to those 10 men. He says to them, go show yourself to the priest. And they turned and started going. And as the 10 needy men walked away, here's what happened. Because when it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Here's what happened. The divine power of God, unseen to the outward eye, it was hidden. It came in them and upon them. The divine power of God instantly came upon and into their bodies as they were walking. Healing power came with Jesus' words when they obeyed it. And there was a rush or a current of health and vitality that swept over every molecule and atom of their body, supernaturally cleansing them of all the disease. That's astounding. All their pain and fatigue, all their miserable condition physically, and all the leprous spots that would have been so grotesque, instantly were gone. And they knew it. Their skin would have been whole. They all knew they had been healed. What would you feel? How do you think they acted immediately after that?
Well, that's good. He heard us.
The depth of their shock, their amazement, their joy, their excitement would have shown. Because as they went, they were made whole physically. They saw it, they felt it, and they knew it. They knew they had been healed. Minutes earlier, full lepers. Now, 10 healthy men. This shows us one primary thing. The sovereign, unlimited, gracious power of Jesus Christ in any situation. He's not limited by circumstances, by conditions. He's not limited by a weak faith. He's not limited by a lack of knowing how to pray. He's not limited by our struggles and our doubts. The storm rages and he's sleeping in the boat and he awakes and speaks a word and the storm's calm. A dead son being carried to a cemetery by his widowed mother, Jesus stops the procession and a day of burial becomes a day of resurrection and joy. Think of that mother and son going home and sitting down at supper and looking at each other. What conversation they would have. Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus later would have thought, well, I can't tell anybody what I experienced when I was dead, but I gotta die again sometime now. But he was glad to be alive. And the Jews wanted to kill him because he was the product of a resurrection. That makes a lot of sense. Jesus raised him. They want to kill him again. They think he'll stay dead. Well, the power of Christ is seen. The fig tree is cursed and it's dead. The demoniac becomes an evangelist. This is the power of the cross. This is the power of Christ. Anywhere, anytime, nothing can oppose or hinder the power of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And we all too often look at the waves and we doubt His power when we ought to look at His power and glance at the waves. The miracle, that's the miracle of the 10 lepers. So let's let that sink in. The awesome, supernatural, amazing reality of this miracle of 10 lepers. Secondly, we observe this, their response. And we see that it was a mixed response. See verse 17. When the one returns with a right response, the first thing Jesus says is, where are the other nine? Implying they should have returned. Jesus wanted them to return. I think He felt in His humanity disappointment and surprise that 90% of this bunch didn't even come back. So, sure, they would have gone on to the priest to be pronounced clean, but then they scattered to their own places, their homes, their family, as healthy, restored men. I wonder if any of them that night, is first night as they laid down with health to a good night's sleep, I wonder if any of them with their head on the pillow said, man, I should have gone back and thanked Him. Why didn't I? I was too self-absorbed in what I got. I just wanted to get home. Why didn't I go back? It's too late. They scattered when they were given their life back. But first, couldn't they, shouldn't they have gone back? They cried out to Jesus for mercy. They obeyed what He said. They had to know He was the one who had healed them. Yet they left without a word of response. That's a bad response when God does something big for you, isn't it? How could that happen? How could there be, from 90% of this bunch, no response? It's incredible. So Jesus' words shows and exposes what would have been right. Literally, in the language, it says, the other nine, where are they? Well, He would have known, maybe. Maybe when they were healed, as they were walking, this man said to them, let's go back and thank Him. We don't know that, but He might have. But He parts ways with them, and He turns around, and they go right ahead. They could have, they should have, but they did not return. Their return was a desire Jesus would have had. Their refusal would have been a disappointment to Him. Because He says, why did they not return to give glory to God? If you've ever had a real surgery, when a doctor performs a surgery that is so serious, it's life-altering and it's successful, and you're made well through it, would you say nothing to that doctor afterward? I've had 4 major surgeries, and every time when I heard it went well, I said, I'd like to see the doctor when I can. All I wanted to do was thank him. All I felt was gratitude. I owed them that under God to have an attitude of thanksgiving, to have gratitude flow from my heart for what God had done for me through them. These nine didn't do that. Their response was silent disappearance. Now, before we're too hard on them, the things God blesses you with, the help, the provision, the mercies, the kindness, the answer to prayer, you get the blessing. Are you one of those that has silent disappearance and you never return to thank the Lord Jesus Christ? 90% of those healed, no response. Contrast that with the one leper, the Samaritan. See verse 15. One of them. 10% of this bunch. And he amazingly, a Samaritan of all people, turns back. Now there's the beautiful choice first. When God blesses you, do you turn back in thanks and prayer? Or do you go on? Unmindful, ungrateful, forgetting, turning back, turn back to Him. This leper did that. He returned. He lifted up his voice loudly. He fell at Jesus' feet with thanksgiving, giving glory to God. That, beloved, when God performs a miracle, when God answers a prayer, when He provides for you at the 11th hour, when He comes through for you and does what you could never do, return with a heart of gratitude and get before Him. Thank Him. Just pour out your thanks to Him. Say it 1,000 times from the heart. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. I'm grateful. Be like this one. This is the right response. It's the only right response. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Who has been delivered from the hand of the enemy. Every time God does something for you, your first response, my first response, should be a thankful heart. A humility in us. That we didn't deserve this, and look what this great, my great God and Father did for me. Little old me, puny me, leprous me. He had mercy on me. Lord, thank You so much. That's the right response. The Samaritan did that, the other nine did not. Where are the thankful ones? We must ask. What a trophy of grace all ten were. But the one, a much greater trophy of grace. This Samaritan returned to give thanks, revealing what? True saving faith. The others had temporal faith. They heard reputation faith. This miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth, He can heal anybody. And He is traveling through the land healing and raising the dead and even cleansing lepers. They all ten had that level of faith where they knew He could do it and they cried out. But this one returned with true saving faith, and as a result, he received not only a new healthy body, he received a new heart and a new spirit and a new eternal relationship. This Samaritan leper became a true child of Abraham in this moment. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Beloved, our response, like this leper, our response to Christ in every event of life, in every journey, every part of the journey, every hardship, every joy, every blessing, our response to Christ is absolutely everything for our Christian journey. We neglect to respond to Christ with thanksgiving and gratitude, We are in a bad way spiritually. Our heart is hard. We're proud. Somehow we think we deserve it. Somehow we think we did something to contribute to the miracle. No. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God with humility and gratitude. So, that's what you have here. The nine men's response and the one Samaritan's response. Which are you? So the miracle and their response. That brings us to the lessons for us from this miracle. There's two lessons here. Especially and specifically two lessons. Number one, the lesson of obedience. Obedience. All ten obeyed and were healed. No one can ask in faith and receive answers who doesn't have a heart that wants to try to obey God. The disobedient will not inherit the land. The rebellious will not inherit regularly the gracious mercies of God in Jesus Christ. No one can ask in faith and receive answers who doesn't have a heart to obey. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God's mercies and His help normally come into the life of those who have a heart of obedience. Are you obeying Christ in areas in your life right now? Or do you know there's areas that you're actually willfully disobeying? You're negligent in your obedience. In the path of obedience comes Jesus Christ along your path to bless you. In the path of obedience comes God's power and His healing and His deliverance and His great blessing. Deuteronomy 5 says, "Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you." Lord, I need your forgiveness. And He whispers to you, "Have you forgiven her? Have you forgiven him?" Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Blessed are all those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him, Scripture says. Grace and mercy will always meet the one who is on the path of obedience. Oh God, give us more a heart of constant and faithful obedience. The Samaritan leper was obedient and returned to worship Christ, and salvation came to him that day. Think of the future of those nine and the future of that one. They settled back into a normal life, physically well. They were going to get sick and die later. They were going to die later. So was this leper. But their earthly life was changed only in the physical. What does it profit a man if he gains a whole new lease on life physically, but he loses his own soul? You haven't gained anything. You're made well to go on and live back in your sin and your unbelief, and you're going to die and perish forever. So, obedience. Obedience. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Are you an obedient, healed leper? Or are you not taking obedience as serious as you should in light of all that God's done for you? First lesson, the importance of obedience. The second and final lesson, gratitude. This jumps out in this text for us, and it's meant to. Thankfulness, gratitude. With a loud voice, this one came back and glorified God, falling at His feet, giving thanks. I would have loved to have heard it. I would love to have recorded it and seen it. His posture, perhaps his tears on this new skin running down his cheeks. And hear his words. See his emotion. He's so thankful. He can't hold it back. He comes with a melting heart of thanksgiving. What a rare thing thankfulness is. Does it mark your life? What a wonderful and beautiful thing gratitude is. What a proper thing it is to always be thankful. Giving thanks in all things, for all things, unto God. We're more ready at times to pray for help than to give thanks for past help received. We are more inclined at times to ask God for more than to thank Him for what we have. Cultivate a heart, an attitude, a mindset of gratitude and thankfulness. It glorifies Christ. He hears it. He knows it. He loves it. And He will bless the righteous who are thankful for His mercies. What does Philippians 4:16 say? 4:6, I'm sorry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We should never pray without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should flow out of the Christian like blood flows through our heart and into our veins, because the mercy of God to let our heart keep beating and the blood keep flowing and lungs having air, His air, ought to elicit praise and thanks. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll say, Lord, thank You that I can go to the restroom this morning. Thank You that I can walk, that I can dress myself, that I can go get a cup of coffee, settle in with my Bible and be with You. Thank You for my health. Thank You for all Your mercies to me. Oh, none of them are deserved. All of them are cases for gratitude. Are you a grateful person? Or are you like the 10 lepers? Look what God has done. Bye-bye. Where are the thankful who return to give thanks? Where are the thankful who know that giving thanks is giving glory to God? Are you among the 90% that forget? Are you among the small percentage that do it? Who among us receives mercy from God regularly and yet neglect this response of gratitude? No duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. A thankful heart, one man said, a thankful heart has a continual feast. You know, thanksgiving is therapeutic. It does a lot for your soul. It renews your mind. It clears your perspective. It eliminates self-centeredness and selfishness. A thankful person views the world better. A thankful person views God's mercies right. Being thankful for everything He's done for us and all that He is. Someone said, our thanks should be as fervent and big as the mercies that we've received. Have you received big mercies? Let's just answer that right now to ourselves, yes or no. Answer for yourself, have I received big mercies from God? We have. No one in this room that hadn't. Well, today, can we return in this moment to our great, merciful Savior, the miracle worker, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, our healer, our Redeemer, the one who's forgiven our sins, the one who's constantly faithful to us, who's always with us. Let's return in our hearts at His feet and just from our hearts say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Give me a heart that's more consistent in praising you and being grateful. It's a serious thing when we fail to show gratitude. It's sad when we forget to give thanks. But you know what's sadder than that? When there is nothing for which we feel thankful to God for. Do you feel thankful? Then give thanks. I love the simple direction, the last command Jesus gave this man. He said, go your way. I wonder if he smiled at him. I wonder if he hugged him. It was warm. It was a commission. Go your way. Brethren, here's what we need to do. We need to go our way every day and be humble and be grateful and glorify God because we are all the recipients of the biggest miracle, if we're believers, the saving, redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ came to us in our bad condition. He could have left you in the condition you were in. But God, who is rich in mercy, and the great love wherewith He's loved us, saved us, and washed us, and cleansed us, and has forgiven us, and made us His child. Thanks be unto God for this glorious Savior. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Right now in these moments, you just express to the Lord how you feel, what you want to say to Him. Pray back to Him right now what He has spoken to you. What has He brought you to be mindful of this morning again, of what He's done for you? Thank Him for it. Review and rehearse in your mind the mercies that He's shown to you. And let's just now give Him thanks. Our gracious God and Father, we acknowledge our great need of forgiveness for ingratitude, for forgetfulness, for not having a lifestyle of being thankful, for the miracles You've done for us. O Lord Jesus, forgive us and change us today. Work in us more deeply this fruit of the Spirit of thanksgiving. Make us a thankful people. Let it mark our life. Let it define who we are as believers. Thanks be unto God.